Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
Welcome in, everybody. I know Ole Miss is literally playing right now, but we're going to talk Ole Miss baseball anyway. Looks like, knock on wood, now that I said this, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. I'm going to jinx it totally. But they're currently playing and seemingly taking care of business. Ole Miss with the rare two-game midweek session ahead of a massive series with Tennessee. Interesting decision there in hindsight, but so far taking care of business. So we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about that series with Tennessee. And I'm going to bring you my interview with Mike Bianco. Again, I know they're literally playing right now, but this is from earlier on the radio show. And so I hope you enjoy it. I thought it was pretty good, and not because I had anything to do with that, but I thought that we got some pretty insightful stuff from Coach in this interview. So glad that you guys are here. This is the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And again, really appreciate you guys being here and like and comment and all that good stuff as well. This edition of the show is presented by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out. Toyotaofbrookhaven.com is the website. They're off exit 40 in Brookhaven. If you are looking for a car buying experience from people that are going to take care of you, that are going to treat you like a person instead of dollar signs, that's where you need to go. And I know not all of you are in Brookhaven, but it's worth the trip, especially if you check out their online inventory on their website, because you will get taken care of. Tell them I sent you, by the way. You'll get $1,000, any in-stock new Toyota, $1,000 off immediately before anything else happens. They have a service department. Open Monday through Friday, all the way up to 7 p.m. and as early as 7 in the morning. And it's one of the best, highest rated service departments in the state. Any maker model, doesn't have to be a Toyota, but they will take care of you at Toyota of Brookhaven. They will deliver. I promise you, they will. So I am really excited, frankly, to watch this series with Tennessee. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a massive opportunity for them to quote-unquote prove it. That's the phrase I'm going to use on the show tomorrow, and that is what I think is kind of the overarching narrative when it comes to this series. Is there are, and maybe it's not fair at this point. I think it's partially unfair and then partially fair. Fence straddling, not what you should do in this business, but that's kind of what I'm doing here. I mean, I was even talking to a friend today about I'm just not sure how good they are, is what he said. And I kind of agree with that sentiment. Now, it feels a little ridiculous because they're 8-4 in the SEC. They're one out away from beating Arkansas, who's excellent at this point. Their non-conference resume is really good. They're finding different ways to win. Different players are stepping up at different times. It was the pitching last week with a couple of clutch at-bats. It was the bats that came through against Florida, and so on and so forth. But the people that are questioning this team's ceiling, I think, are fair. I don't yet know how good they are. I know they're good. All of you know that this is a good baseball team. But how good? Are they host worthy? Are they national seed worthy? Are they the type of team that can get to Omaha? I don't think that we have learned that answer yet. This weekend is going to be that litmus test, I believe, for that. Not only because of who it is, and I know, again, Arkansas is great, and they were one out away from taking the series against them, but this Ole Miss pitching staff is coming off of the best weekend they've had this year. Can they replicate that? Can they keep runs off the board and allow their offense to settle in? Can this offense continue its high-level play against what I think is the best pitching staff that they've seen so far this year? So how good are they? What is their ceiling? Are they just good, or are they good to great, or are they elite? We'll find out this weekend. And then, of course, there's the other stuff. And I am extremely curious to see how the team handles the little extra. And what should help them, or at least I think what's going to help them, is that there's a lot of new bodies, right? Like, the entire outfield didn't play with Andrew Fisher or Liam Doyle. I'm sure they've been made aware of who those two are, and if they care about their teammates, I'm sure they had some level of reaction or emotion to it, right? They probably don't like those guys now, hearing what they did to Ole Miss, so maybe that helps some. In fact, it could help a lot. I don't know. Maybe that's part of it, but this is a team that has shown mental toughness. They have shown that they have grit, which is what we talked about after the Kentucky series. They're finding ways to win. It's not always pretty, but they're figuring it out. Different guys are stepping up at different times. Mentally, the mental makeup of this team appears to be pretty solid. When faced with adversity, they've overcome it. I mean, they get dominated in the second game of the season, turn around and beat up on Clemson. They lose the Hunter Elliott game. They lose game one of this past series. They bounce back, and Maddox pitches great, and they find a way to win that series despite not playing their best. So far, it's been a mentally tough team. This is a different challenge, again, both with opponent, but also the emotions of it. How do they handle Liam Doyle being on the mound and the extra juice that the environment's going to have in this game? How does this team handle that? How do they handle Andrew Fisher? How do they respond if things get chippy? Because you know Tennessee is going to chirp and stuff like that. They're going to act out. They're going to do what Tennessee does. They have that edge to them, and they're really good on top of it all. So that is what I am most looking forward to, is can this team continue to show mental toughness and handle the environment and the extra emotions that are in this series that are very atypical to the college baseball series you've seen in the past. Of course, from an actual baseball perspective, really looking forward to seeing if Hunter Elliott can put a full game together. I was going to say a complete game, but I don't mean pitch nine innings. Can he avoid that one side where he has command issues and gives up some free bases? Can Maddox keep runners off the board again? Can some of these guys out of the bullpen that stepped up last week, can they do that again against a lineup that is much more dangerous than the one that they just saw? Those are the big questions that are going to get answered, but this is a rare, very emotional baseball series. I'm excited to see how this team is going to handle that. We'll see. Podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business, anywhere in Mississippi, and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's tech in the office and you need it, check them out at Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. The loan servicing and decision making, not only is it local, but it's they understand that somebody might be looking for a loan, not just to start a business, right? It could be a personal loan to consolidate debt. It's a very at times anyway, it can be an uncomfortable thing. Not a Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. They will treat you like a person. That is what the sponsors of this podcast do, in my experience. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. Great online banking platform. Check them out at Priority One Bank. So I promised you my interview with Mike Bianco. I know they're playing right now, but I thought this was good. So here's my one-on-one from the radio show with Ole Miss head baseball coach Mike Bianco. After you hear from Coach, I'll read your comments and I'll get you out of here a little earlier on this Tuesday night. But here he is, Coach Mike Bianco.
What was the thing that you learned about your team this weekend that you may not have known previously?
Oh, wow. You guys always have these trick questions. I don't know. I loved how we, handled the the craziness, and it really happened last week playing a doubleheader, on Friday against Florida. maybe that prepared us a little bit. But, you know, to get there early on Wednesday night, get rained out on Saturday or, Thursday, play, you know, 18 innings on Friday and then come back and we were supposed to play at 11 and, you know, the rain just wouldn't go away. And finally there was a window and, you know, it happens in baseball and you got to be able to start, stop, and, you know, keep your focus and don't get caught up in all the things that really don't matter and go out there and play. And I don't think it was our best weekend as far as, you know, execution and that, but we pitched it well. We played good enough defense and, you know, got enough hits to win.
How do you keep a group of college baseball players occupied while not draining their energy but keeping them focused when your start times are moving three times for one game?
Technology is amazing. And so, you know, we send them texts into rooms and say, hey, we're going to leave at this time, we're going to leave at that time. Really, credit the, you know, our ops guys that, you know, we ate breakfast at, you know, 7:30 on that Saturday morning, but, you know, we were supposed to leave at 8:50 and didn't leave until 12:50. And so in the meantime, they fed 50 people with smoothies and wraps from a restaurant there in Lexington. So, you know, a lot of people that have their hands in it that you guys don't necessarily see. But, you know, the players handle it well, you know, and again, you know, the goal was to not let, you know, things that can distract you that you have no control over distract you. You know, that this is something that, you know, they've lived with their whole lives about being able to have a rain delay and rain out. I'm just glad that we handle it well and play pretty good baseball.
Yeah, speaking of handling it well, I happened to catch your radio interview in between game one and game two of the doubleheader and just coming off of that opening game loss, and you were asked about Riley Maddux, and I was kind of taken by your answer. You seemed extremely confident. I think I'm paraphrasing. You said, oh, he's going to be fine. We just got to make sure we play good defense behind him. And he delivered for you, but what made you in that moment so confident in his ability to kind of overcome a couple of bad starts and, I mean, really shut Kentucky down the way he did?
Because I'm not a fan. I'm a coach. And, you know, I know him better than, you know, most people and most, you know, people that watch us. I mean, you know, he's been with us for 4 years and I get it. You know, it can be frustrating when somebody doesn't have success or, you know, doesn't execute. And I get that. And I think that's what makes the differences between, and not that I know it all or make all the right decisions. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, you know, we try to take the emotional part away from it. And if we didn't think Riley Maddux was going to, you know, be good enough to win the game, or if we didn't think that Judd Uttermark, you know, could give us good at bats, we wouldn't play those people, you know. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if we put them in the lineup, you know, we expect and, you know, assume that they can get it done. That doesn't mean that they always will, but we wouldn't put them in the lineup if we didn't think they could succeed.
Speaking of Uttermark, is he the biggest second baseman you've ever seen?
I don't know. We laugh that, you know, he'll give Preston Overby a run for his money. He may be a tick taller than Preston, but, you know, Preston was maybe a little thicker, you know, and he did pretty good for us in 2014. So he might be the biggest one in the country. Pound for pound, he's probably the fastest one. You know, so for that size, he can really run.
And how do you make those decisions? So you've done some shuffling around in the infield. What ultimately led you to making that decision to have him at second base and kind of had this more solidified infield?
Well, you know, I think it's a few things, but to just really be candid, you know, this fall we thought Judd would kind of be that, you know, Swiss Army knife where, you know, he would play some third, he would play some first, he would play some outfield. And because the outfield guys, you know, Mormon, you know, Humphrey and Sanford have played so well and hard to get those guys out of lineup, and then Federico and some others have played well, Furness has gotten hot, you know, we kind of got stale to where we have to leave Judd there at third. And it was working for a while, but I thought we lost, to be honest with you, some mojo, you know, defensively. I thought when we really started the year, I thought we defended with a lot of confidence. We were aggressive the way we attacked the ball, especially in the infield. and you know, things started to go a little sour, and not that we were bad, but we had some games where you could tell we were kind of on our heels. And one of the things we did all fall was Luke Hill played third base, you know, on the other team. And you know, he really wasn't getting any opportunities at third, so we figured we'd make that move, and doing so pushes Judd to second base. But again, you know, the Swiss Army knife, metaphor that, you know, he can really play anywhere. And so I think Luke's defended really well at third base, and it's kind of worked, at least for now.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sanford earlier playing so well. I had a friend text me last night and say that throw out in extras in the final game was the defensive play of the season so far for your team. Do you agree?
I don't know if it's the play. I mean, Mormon made several diving catches, and then I thought Humphrey threw a guy out earlier in that game, you know, to I think keep it the game intact too. I think it was in the same game. So, you know, yes, I'm going to leave that up to you. You guys get to vote and decide the plays of the year and all of that. But, it, you know, nonetheless, it was a huge play. I agree with that.
Is there any way to coach clutch? And I ask that because of Smithwick's home run. And he is not an everyday starter for you anymore, but he steps up and gives you a big fly to win a game. Is there anything that you can do as a coach to help a guy perform in a tight spot like that, or is it just kind of ingrained in who they are?
I believe, and I mean this sincerely, I believe that guys that are great teammates, guys that you know hold the team, you know, to a high, you know, the higher than their own expectations of themselves and playing time. Everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to pitch. But when you're a great teammate, when you get put in those situations, you know, I think you're a little freer. I believe that, you know, I truly believe the baseball gods make it a little simpler for you to succeed than people that are selfish, or people that think of themselves before they think of their teammates. And you see it all the time in baseball. You know, guys that, you know, come off the bench, you know, to pinch hit, or a guy that comes out of the bullpen that might not be a regular guy. You know, I believe I've been around the game too long. Those guys that are selfless guys like Campbell seem to have success in those situations.
And you mentioned the fans earlier. The fans have had this series in particular circled for a while, not only because Tennessee is a really good program and near the top of college baseball right now, but because of who will pitch for them in game one and who will play in the field for them as well. Is that something as a coach that you have to guard against your team getting caught up in? The emotions of the series with the little bit of extra juice, having a couple of former teammates on the opposite side of the field?
I don't think we need any extra juice. I think our guys realize that, you know, the game's bigger than any player in our dugout or their dugout. You know, it's two really good teams, two top 10 teams that are competing in a really big SEC series. And, you know, we need to keep the main thing and go out there and play baseball, be mature about it, and go be us like we have all year.
Coach, we appreciate your time as always. What was the thing that you...
All right, sorry about that quick replay there, but that is Mike Bianco, Ole Miss head baseball coach Mike Bianco. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation, but let's read your comments and then we'll get out of here. First one, Borky, my birthday's tomorrow. I promise I turn 21. No, you don't. No, you don't. Also need official Borky merch to celebrate. So Hey Dad and I have actually tossed around the idea of a hot sauce because we know somebody that makes them. In some kind of collaboration. I need to check in with him tomorrow to see if we've gotten any feedback from her, the woman who makes it, to see if that's actually a thing, because I would love to do that. A branded hot sauce. What do we even call it? I don't know. Two-game midweek before Tennessee. Throw the trainers on the mound if you have to. Yeah, literally nobody worth anything should pitch tomorrow, especially with how they're playing tonight. You shouldn't really have to do much of that tonight either, although I'm talking to you guys instead of watching that, of course. But still, I'll take the mound this week if it saves some arms for the weekend. Biggest baseball series in Oxford since the last time Tennessee came in 2022. And yeah, that did not go particularly well. Yeah, Oh, yeah, no doubt. Really, emotional is not the right word because it makes it sound like people are crying, but the emotions in this stadium should be and will be hot. Good, by the way. Good. I'm glad it'll be like that. Get that juice back in that building. But, yeah, and what's interesting, though, is it is a big series for obvious reasons, but also if they get one, they'll be fine. I mean, they'll still be in really good position to host and all that. So look, this weekend is important. I don't necessarily think they need to win two games or else, you know. If they take one and are very competitive, we can move into the path to hosting conversation. Absolutely. They get one this weekend, and that'll be the focus moving forward. We'll do a lot of regional projection stuff and things like that, no doubt. They realistically could be 11-1 in league play right now. However, they could easily be 4-8 in the league. That's what's frustrating. I can't gauge them. But things have kind of balanced out, right? I mean, because they could be 11-1, but this is exactly where they need to be. Are exactly where they should be. Things just kind of worked themselves out there. But, yeah, hard to gauge. We'll find out this weekend. They're so close to beating Arkansas. We'll see if that translates here. But something to consider is how close they play Arkansas literally every season. Even the last 2 years have been close. Yeah. Did I see the Reefer Owl license plate on the way to work today? Somebody listens to the radio show. Yeah, guys, I'm an idiot. I was driving behind... I think this was last week or 2 weeks ago. And I was driving behind a truck that was pulling a smoker that was lit. Like smoke was coming out of the top of the smoker. And it smelled really good. So I followed him for a while. But he was driving slow. So I ended up going around him and I saw his license plate. And it said Reefer Al. And I thought, that's interesting, especially coming out of my neighborhood. I didn't know my neighborhood was like that. It took me five, because I was thinking, this is on the way to the studio, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to tell this story on the radio, is that I've got a neighbor who goes by Reefer Al on his license plate. It was the word referral. It was the word referral. Which still doesn't, like, why would that be your novelty license plate? But still, yeah, not particularly smart. Tennessee's going to act like asshats. They tend to do that. We'd love to know the backstory about what went down with Doyle and Fisher and the NIL numbers involved from both schools. The idea that Tennessee was able to outbid Ole Miss in baseball is frustrating. Well, Tennessee's, I mean, they're heavily bought in. It is true. I mean, I don't know all the details. I know what a lot of people have already said, but, I mean, we were told at the time that, you know, they signed a new deal with the Grove Collective and they were coming back. And, I mean, people are sharing Andrew Fisher's Instagram post where he said, you know, ready to run it back or whatever with a picture of him and the fans. But they signed new deals and they backed out of those deals. They're not the first guys to do that. They won't be the last. Ole Miss and other sports has benefited from guys that have done something similar. But apparently they, or at least one of them, tried to get teammates to leave with them and spent a lot of time saying a lot of negative things about Ole Miss, Mike Bianco, et cetera, and tried to get others to leave the program with them. And it possibly worked for at least one. Obviously, it didn't go to Tennessee, but that really justifiably rubbed people the wrong way. If you want to leave, leave. I mean, look, guys, when you talk about the timing of that, and yeah, signing a new deal and leaving is not what you should do. You should stick to your word. But Tennessee was a more attractive place to play baseball at the end of last season than Ole Miss. So if you want to go, go. But if you're going to go and spend time trying to convince your other teammates just to leave too, you get whatever hate is coming your way from the crowd and you deserve it. That is something that I feel strongly about with athlete compensation. They're highly paid baseball players. They're professional baseball players. They get paid a lot more than 99.9% of this audience right here and our audience on the radio show. They're highly paid professional baseball players. If you want to be a pro, you get treated like a pro. And the welcome that they're going to get at Swayze is going to be nasty and good. That's how pros get treated. You wanted to act like a pro? You want to be a pro? Well, then now you have to deal with what they deal with. If a player forces his way out of a franchise and goes to Boston and then he comes back to Atlanta for a game, then he's going to get treated like hell. And that's what they deserve, and that's what they'll get. And they can brush it off and play, or they can let it affect them. What will happen, we'll see. But you guys know me. I think that in the player payment era, which is not going away, by the way, more scrutiny needs to be had, both with the players on your team and others as well. Tennessee baseball tries to intimidate their opponents, get in the other team's head, and want them to be angry and fight. They follow the culture of Tony Vitello. And it works for them, right? They're scrappy. They're obviously pretty tough. And they get in people's heads, and they bother people. Ole Miss can't let that happen to them. I don't think they will, but they can't. Everyone's talking about Dart, Nolan, and Princely. What about Trey Harris, JJ, and Ivy? What's their NFL future? Well, Trey Amos has a better chance, I think, than all but Nolan and Dart to go in the first round. Harris is possibly a second-round pick. That the only questions about him are his injury proneness, if that's a way to put it. But there's a chance he's a second-rounder. J.J. Pegues and Jared Ivey are going to be mid-round guys, and I think that if you look up in 10 years, and you should not at all be surprised if they're still on NFL rosters. They are just highly productive players that are not super talents, right? Jared Ivey's not a super talent, but Jared Ivey is, one, a great locker room guy, and that helps, but he can do everything. I mean, he's just a really solid, big, physical, but also athletic football player. And he'll go in the fourth round to somebody, and he'll be on a roster for the next decade or more. Those two guys are really, really solid, and the NFL is built off of guys like them. Just because they're not first-round picks doesn't mean that they can't be extremely valuable football players in the NFL, and I think they both will be. I'm concerned about Harris's ability to stay healthy, personally. Saw Liam Doyle like the burner post on Twitter of how Elliott should throw at Fisher. Yeah. Social media is a cancer, isn't it? Just hate that ticket prices for Saturday are so high. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. College baseball games usually, regular season games usually aren't that tough of a ticket, but Saturday's a different story. Probably going to be a high attended series. Wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, what's the weather going to be? Let's see. Oxford, little chilly, 65 with a low of 49 on Friday, high of 66 on Saturday, high of 78 on Sunday. Sunday's going to be beautiful. So a touch chilly, I suppose, but are you 66 and sunny? Are you kidding me? That's amazing. There's a chance that they approach a record, especially on Saturday, if they're able to find a way to win game one, then yeah. So let's see here. Oh, forgive me. I'm tired. Sorry about that. 4 o'clock start too on Saturday. So it might get a little chilly maybe. But no, that's going to be amazing. The weather's perfect. Could be possibly record crowds. As much as you dislike Vitello, he already has matched Bianco's accolades. One Natty, two College World Series, and two SEC Tournament Championships. Would love for Bianco to get this series over him. And yeah, the follow-up to that is no doubt Vitello's elite, maybe the best coach currently in college baseball. I think there's no doubt that he's the best coach in baseball. He is so hard to like, but he is so good at what he does. And his teams are so hard to like, but they are so good at what they do. You're glad they got Kentucky and they're chirping before Tennessee. Hopefully they don't fall for their head games. That is an underrated thing where they got some of that last week to kind of get them ready for more of that on their home field on Saturday. Hot sauce is good, but you make the merch. Also having annual golf sale for the Masters, 25% to 75% off this week. If you make merch, I need to talk to you. send me an email, Borky@supertalk.fm. Send me an email, please. No, I will be here. I will be here this weekend. Just need to go 3-2 this week. I agree, but 4-1 would be better. 4-1 would vault them. I mean, they're already close to the top five, but man, a 4-1 week. Let's see. Let's look at D1 baseball poll and see where they could end up. And of course, depending on what everybody else does, but they would jump Tennessee. I think they would jump Clemson. They have a win over them, possibly LSU, again, depending on what else happens. But they should be around 3 if they go 4-1 this week. Did I figure out what I'm going to do about the tree? I need to take a picture of that and show you guys. It's not $600 worth of cutting down. I'm going to do it myself is what's going to happen. You're a journalism grad. Get your spelling and reading correct. I'm a teller, not a speller, man. The Ole Miss Journalism School, I have not been asked to be involved in anything, which is interesting because, I mean, who knows? I'm going to end up getting fired tomorrow, but I think there's only one other person in my graduating class that actually still works in media. There might be two. I know for sure of one besides me, and that's it. What was said negatively about one or by one of the two people that left? I don't know specifically. The rumor is, and it seems pretty ironclad, that there was just an attempt to get more players to leave after they did. Yeah. Those last pitch in an Ole Miss uniform definitely was a memorable one. Yeah, no kidding. Start to 20 at 26 to the Rams would be a dream for him. Yeah, saw that mock draft from Mel Kiper today, and what a dramatic shift from his previous one. I don't understand Kiper's mock overall compared to others that I've seen, but yes, I agree with you. If Dart goes 26 to the Rams, that is the dream location. You know, we were having this conversation on the show today, and you know, there are people that want him to go in the top 10, just so you know, you can say Ole Miss had a top 10 pick at quarterback, and yeah, that means something. What means more is their success in the NFL. What when people talk about Eli Manning, what do they talk about? They don't talk about his draft pick status. I mean, I guess that's part of it, but what do they talk about? Two Super Bowls. That's what they talk about. What do they talk about with Brady? His draft position's a footnote in his story, right? It doesn't matter where they get drafted. It matters how successful they are once they get there. And so if you can have the best of both worlds, a first-round pick that goes to a situation like that where he's not thrust into the starting not thrust into the starting role right away. He can learn behind a future Hall of Famer and play in that organization under that coach. It's a dream scenario for him. What did I think about Florida-Houston? Knew that was coming. Florida was the best team in college basketball. But what impressed me, though, was how they were able to play Houston's game. Just out Houston last night. They were able to have success in the quote-unquote ugly. It's funny how they're ranked 6, but they just keep winning. Yeah, absolutely. It's the only thing that matters anyway. Very bullish about what Ole Miss baseball can and should be. This is a sport they should dominate. This weekend will be massive. And this weekend can help. Not that anybody really left. Ole Miss's baseball fan base is large and dedicated, but a successful weekend will really get everybody back on board, right? There's still a little bit of skepticism, but everybody will get back on board. Speaking of Ole Miss journalism, congrats to Marshall Ramsey, T-Dub Game says. Also, what's your thoughts on the NCAA settlement stuff and the proposed bill? That bill will never pass. It is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. It's so stupid that I can't believe somebody took our money, our taxpayer dollars, to write something so ridiculous that'll never get passed. But that's why when I have spent years, both on the radio show and on here, talking about Greg Sankey in particular, begging Congress for help, well, that's the kind of garbage that you get from Congress. That's what their help is. So stop begging them for help, because that's the kind of crap you're going to get. So that's not going to pass. The House settlement is interesting. There are elements to it that won't hold up. The judge, I think, frankly, has asked some really good questions about why does it apply to 10 years? Like, you have an 8-year-old right now that's going to get impacted by this. Players didn't have a say. You know, those kind of questions are fair. It does sound like she's going to approve it, though. But what's going to happen? You know it's going to happen. I don't care that the House settlement says that the NCAA can't get sued. The second the clearinghouse tries to deny an NIL deal for a player because this third-party entity that the players did not agree to be enforced by, the second that third-party entity, where the players did not agree to have them police them in the same way that the NFL Players Union does, denies an NIL deal because it's not fair market value, they're going to get sued and they're going to lose, and we're going to be right back here. The House settlement only kicks the can down the road a little bit. This is not going to change everything. I know that there's been a national college football show that the House settlement's going to bring. No, it won't. No, it won't. You're not paying attention. This will not end litigation. That part of it will continue. What the House settlement's going to do is going to expedite the breakaway, is what it's going to do, because it's going to continue to get challenged and they're going to continue to lose because they are not going to get an antitrust exemption from Congress. They're not going to get a good bill from Congress, and they're going to get sued into oblivion until they allow the players to have a seat at the table when deciding what their compensation can and cannot be. Until that day comes, they're going to get sued and they're going to keep losing. I don't understand why people don't understand that. But anyway, predicted 12 and 18 before the season. Now I'm teetering between 16 and 14 and 17 and 13 right now. This weekend will tell us a lot. Yeah, well, let's revisit that prediction after this weekend. How the hell do both basketball teams make the Sweet 16, but final rankings have them both outside of 16? To be honest with you, the AP poll is so incredibly irrelevant, I wouldn't even think twice about it. I know it's stupid that Iowa State's in front of Ole Miss. We saw them play on the floor. We saw them play each other very recently. One team was a lot better than the other. Whatever. The AP poll is just totally irrelevant, just completely and totally irrelevant. So wouldn't even worry about it at all. Thursday, Hey Dad and I are on the road. I will be out of town and won't be getting back until late. I'm going to try to bring you something on Thursday. We will not be live, though. It's just I'll be 3 hours away on Thursday, so I won't be getting in until after 9 o'clock, later possibly, depending on if I can. We're at a convention, and you know things are, might need to stick around and talk to people at, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm going to try to bring you something. For sure. It's just going to be recorded and not live, but we'll be back live Sunday after the Masters. So after the series and after the Masters on Sunday, we'll be live again, but you will get something Thursday. I just don't know quite yet what that's going to look like. But in the meantime, thank you guys for tuning in. I will see you on Thursday for sure. And then definitely live on Sunday. See you guys then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Find your new ride at Kia Macomb's all-new location at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Come find out why Macomb loves Kia Macomb at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Right on the corner, right on the price.